Bible with you, please turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Last week we were in the greeting, and we dealt with Paul's greeting to the church in Ephesus. The week before that was an introduction to the entire letter, context, setting, date, time, situation, all those things. And so now we're getting into a little more of some doctrinal things and issues that Paul's going to address. And I think next week is when it really begins to get heavy. We are only in verse 3 today. In verses 4 through 14, which will take a couple weeks to get through, begin to get a little heavier doctrinally and theologically. But this verse 3 is kind of a prerequisite, kind of a precursor to the things that are about to come, and these are important to understand as we talk about spiritual blessings today. So I'm going to read verse 3, and then I'm going to pray, and then we're going to jump into it. So Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Paul says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." Let's pray. Father, this morning, I pray that your Spirit would do a miraculous and mighty work. Speak through me, use me as your instrument. Open our hearts and minds to the truth of your word. Take this verse 3, unravel its truth before us, enlighten our mind to see what it means so that we could know you better, that you would be glorified, and we would find an exceeding amount of joy in knowing you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You're hungry, so you go to the fridge. You open the fridge, and it's empty. What do you say? And let's be honest, it's not always empty. You open the fridge, and what do we all say? Man, there's nothing to eat, right? How many times have you said, how many of you said that in your life? You open the fridge and said, man, there's nothing to eat. Now, let's be honest with ourselves. What, he just said it this week? Oh, yeah, see, it's a reality. So, if we're honest with ourselves, there's plenty to eat in our house, right? We open our fridge and say, man, there's nothing to eat. It's not empty. I know that much. Okay, you could have a ketchup sandwich, right? There's food there. We just don't want to make it, okay? And we all have, like, those two frozen salmon fillets that are, like, lost in the back of the freezer, half a bag of frozen peas, and, you know, everyone has, like, that random can of chicken broth in the pantry and, like, that half-used spaghetti noodle box, right? And then, of course, there's two heels of bread left, just the heels, though, and then, like, a little scrape of butter left somewhere in the fridge. You've got a meal. Salmon fillet with peas and chicken noodle soup with bread and butter. But we open the fridge and we go, there's nothing to eat. The freezer is a helpful analogy for our spiritual blessings. We own the food in our freezer. It's with us. We could use it, but instead, we look right past it and we say, I'm hungry. There has to be a solution, but it's not in my fridge. Our spiritual blessings are ours. We own them. They are in Christ, and we are in Christ. So these spiritual blessings are ours, but we look right past them, and we turn to God, and we say, hey, I'm hungry. And God says, look in the freezer, right? And we don't. We kind of just open the fridge and say, man, there's nothing to eat. And God's like, I've got a stockpile of food. these are our spiritual blessings. Verse 3, last week we addressed those greetings, and this week we're in verse 3, and Paul says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Let's start with this word blessed, the first word that Paul uses, blessed. Number one in your bulletin, the Greek word for blessed is eulogio, from which we get our English word, who knows? Who can take a guess? What English word do we get from eulogio? Eulogy, right, eulogy, which means a message of praise and commendation or a declaration of a person's goodness. So it's very fitting that Paul would say of the Father that he is blessed because God is good. It's a commendation or praise of the goodness of God. And it's fitting because there's nobody who compares to God's goodness. And because he is good, he does good things. All things that God does are good. He cannot do anything without it being good. So when he acts toward us. When he acts to us, when he acts for us, it's always good to us. Hence Paul's praise of the Father to call him blessed, or praising God for his goodness. That he is a God who is blessed, who is blessed because he is good. And since he is good, and all things he does are good, we, in relationship to him, are therefore blessed as well. Because the one who is blessed blesses us, which is why we call him blessed, because in his goodness he gives nothing but goodness to us. So Paul goes on to write from there. He says, who has, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ. Now, in Christ, there's our theme of Ephesians again. This is the theme of the entire letter, this idea of us being in Christ. And it's the second time Paul's used it. He used it in the introduction, verse 1. And now he uses it again. It's not the last time he's going to use it. He'll use it at least 13 more times before the letter is over. So Paul writes, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. So he is blessed because he's good. We're praising him for being good. And who has blessed us, which means who has given us the goodness in Christ with, how has he blessed us? With every spiritual blessing. Not some. Not half, not even 99% of spiritual blessings, every blessing. So first we must understand that all or 100% of our spiritual blessings are our blessings only because we are in Christ. You get that? 100% of our spiritual blessings, all of our spiritual blessings are ours only because we are in Christ. If we are not in Christ, then we possess none of the spiritual blessings. If we are in Christ, then we possess all the spiritual blessings. You are either a complete possessor or not a possessor at all. You cannot be a partial possessor of spiritual blessings. Yet, so many of us live our lives as if we are partial possessors. Like we open the fridge and we go, well, we got peanut butter, but nothing to put it on, right? We're partial possessors. As if there's no food in the freezer, and then we go spiritually hungry. Next, we must understand what a spiritual blessing is. So first we must understand that the spiritual blessing is in Christ. It's only because we are in Christ. Now we must understand what a spiritual blessing really is. So this is number two in your bulletin. The Greek word for spiritual is always connected to the workings, that's the blank, workings of the Holy Spirit. So this is not a, the word spiritual is not limiting the kind of blessing. He is saying this is not just blessings that are related to spiritual matters. It is a spiritual blessing in the sense that it is a blessing related to the Holy Spirit. The blessing is not limited to spiritual blessings. It is also has to do with blessing your material needs and your physical needs and your emotional needs as well as your spiritual needs. But that blessing comes to you through the work of the Holy Spirit. So it's not just blessings related to your spiritual life. It is all your blessings that you receive are from Him. God's word tells us all good things come from God. If you get a spiritual blessing, I don't care if it's a brand new car, someone just gives you a new car. That's a blessing, right? All good things come from God. That is a blessing from God. Okay, so all of your spiritual blessings come from God. And these spiritual blessings are not just related to your spiritual aspects of your life, but all the ways in which you are blessed are from God and are connected to the work of the Holy Spirit. Also recognize that though we are blessed with every spiritual blessing, there are some blessings that we have not yet taken possession of. Okay, if you, and we'll get to this verse in a few weeks, but if you look down just a few verses to verse 14, look at what verse 14 says. It says, he's talking about the Holy Spirit, and he says, who is the guarantee of our inheritance. So there's a spiritual blessing, our inheritance. Until we, what? Acquire possession of it. So we don't have possession of our eternal inheritance now, but it is a spiritual blessing that we own, yet we currently do not maintain possession. So there are spiritual blessings that we will not possess until later in the future. And though we are blessed with every spiritual blessing, and we own every spiritual blessing, some of our blessings have a future possession. But there are many blessings that we possess now. Right now. And too often, we're asking God for the things He has already given us. Too often, we ask God for the things He's already given us. In times of trouble, we ask God for peace, forgetting that we already have peace because we are in Christ. John 14, 27, Jesus says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. It's already yours. God has already blessed you with complete peace in Christ. Complete peace in Christ. In times of doubt, we ask for assurance, forgetting that we have assurance in Christ. Romans 8, 16, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. It's already yours. Assurance is already yours. God has already blessed you with complete assurance in Christ. We ask for more love, though He's already told us in Romans 5, 5 that God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. It's already yours. God has already blessed you with complete love in Christ. We ask for more grace. Though He has told us in 2 Corinthians 12, 9, that my grace is sufficient for you. It's already yours. God has already blessed you with complete grace in Christ. So essentially, number three in your bulletin, You are complete in Christ. You are complete in Christ. Now, you look at yourself in the mirror and you go, really? Right? Like, I don't know about that. I feel like I've got a long way to go to be complete. We are positionally complete in Christ. We are, in terms of being justified and righteous in Christ, we are complete. We have the completeness of Christ. We own all that makes Christ complete, and we own that completeness, and in Christ we are complete. There is a natural, human, physical path that we take now that it doesn't feel like we're complete. But in a spiritual sense, God looks at you and says, I see in you the perfection of Christ, the completeness of Christ, the righteousness of my Son. And positioned, we're positioned in Christ, and in that position, we are complete. Yet in this flesh, we walk this journey of sin and struggle toward the final picture that God will make of us in Christ. You have the complete and total fullness of all that Jesus Christ possesses. And all that Christ has, you have. All that Christ inherits, you inherit. Where we lack completeness is in our understanding of these things, meaning that we may not experience love or peace or grace as complete in us because we do not understand the extent to which we've been given complete love or complete peace or complete grace. So, because of sin that's in us, we don't feel complete. And because of sin, in a natural sense, we aren't complete. But in Christ, positionally, we are. We just need to realize we are. And because of sin, we inaccurately believe that we do not have enough peace because we are experiencing anxiety. We inaccurately believe that we do not have enough love because we are experiencing a divorce or a broken relationship. We inaccurately believe that we are not guided by God because we are experiencing a dark time. We inaccurately believe that we are poor because we are experiencing some financial hardship, forgetting that we are rich in Christ. Our understanding of who we are in Christ is so elemental to the rest of this letter. We look in the mirror and we are, let's be honest, we are influenced heavily by the things that we see. That's what makes faith so amazing, because it's believing in the things that we don't see, correct? So when we look at things we see versus things that are unseen, sometimes that's a battle. We look at ourselves and we see the sin in our lives, and it's hard to realize that in Christ, God has completed us in Christ. Because there is a reality that in our flesh we have sin. So there's this, our vision of ourselves as we look in the mirror and we see our flesh and we see our sin and we see our struggles and we say, I don't have the love I need. I'm not getting the grace I need. I don't have the peace that I need. I don't have the spiritual blessings that I'm promised. And God says, but you have Christ. You have perfection. It's yours. You have sinlessness. It's yours. You have the power of the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that worked in Jesus, the man, to resist all sins. And so, there is this, what we see and who we know we are in Christ. And what Paul is trying to draw out is this, let's turn our eyes from what we physically know about ourselves to who we spiritually are in God's eyes. And when let's look at ourselves as positioned in a place in Christ. That there is a throne room that Christ sits in. And the earth is his footstool. And his foot stands on the earth. And that is our inheritance. And that is our position along with him. We will reign with him. We are perfect in him because he is perfect. We have all those spiritual blessings and we have all that he inherits positionally. It has not come to fruition in our lives today because we walk this sinful struggle in the flesh. But Paul is trying to get us to turn our attention to the spiritual aspect of who we are in Christ, because that is going to be so important when we start talking about election. Verse 4, he uses the word chose before the foundation of the world, holy and blameless, predestination through adoption. Okay, so those are the things he's going to talk about. And when we get to those things, it is very vital that we have God's perspective on salvation. Because right now in our lives, we have this perspective of who we are. I struggle with this sin. I struggle with that sin. I don't do this well. I don't do that well. We recognize all the things in which all the ways in which we fail. We recognize our sins, our struggles, our trials, our difficulties, the flesh. Paul says those are real. I'm not going to ignore them, but let's turn our attention to this side of this from God's perspective. When God sees you, he does see that flesh. He knows it's there. He's not a fool. But he sees Christ when he sees you. He sees the gown of righteousness that Christ has placed over you. The imputed righteousness of Jesus. It was imputed. It was put on you. And so God looks at you and he sees you in his Son, Christ. So it's important that we pick up that perspective of the Father as seeing us in the Son. That's huge, because when we start talking about heavier doctrines, you're going to need God's perspective if you truly want to understand the significance and the importance of predestination and election in our salvation, to really understand it. And not just that doctrine next week, but many doctrines to come. And it's not the only reason we need to understand it, because that's who you are. You are in Christ. There are so many identity issues in our culture. They are rising. I think it kind of reached a social pinnacle when we had some very public figures changing their sexual orientation and saying, I was a man, but now I'm a woman. And what we have is the kind of a pinnacle of gender identity, but we have an identity crisis in our culture. People don't know who they are. And you never will truly know who you are until you recognize, number one, that you are a creation of the Creator and that you are made in His image, and that is part of your identity. And for believers, that who we are is in Christ. All that you are is in Christ. Sons, daughters of the Father, children, citizens of heaven, loved, beloved, brothers and sisters of each other, the body, the church, in Christ creates our identity of who we are. So number four in your bulletin. There is no blessing that we can have now that we do not already own. Okay? There are some blessings that we own that we can't have now, that we don't possess now. But there's nothing that you can't have now or that you can. I'm sorry, I said that wrong. There is no blessing you can have now that you do not already own. There's nothing you would possibly need that you can't get your hands on. That's what that means. There's nothing that you could possibly need that you can't get your hands on because you are in Christ. Even future blessings such as our eternal inheritance, we own, though we do not currently possess it. And apart from the things that only God can be, listen to this, apart from the things that only God can be, like all-knowing, all-powerful, all-present God, apart from those things that are truly just His, there's nothing that God possesses that does not have our name on it. This is part of our spiritual blessing. For example, turning your Bibles to Philippians 4. It should just be like two turn pages. Maybe one, two, three pages to your turning your paper to the left. You're heading right. The end of Philippians. It's the next book. Philippians chapter 4. verses 6 and 7. Very, very, very famous verses. They're all over t-shirts and on plaques, and do not be anxious about anything. That's the verse. So this is a good example. This is about peace, okay? And we're just using this verse as an example of how our spiritual blessings work, okay? What they mean, how they're enacted, how we possess them, and then how we experience them. This is just an example. So we're going to be talking about peace as an example of how our spiritual blessings are enacted in our lives, okay? So Philippians 4, 6 through 7 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." So, first of all, do not be anxious. How many of us have been told that before, right? Like, "Oh, I'm having such a week." Oh, don't be anxious, just pray. Like, "You don't get it. I'm so over," you know. Like, how many times has someone shared this verse with you and you're like, "You don't get it. I'm just so busy and crazy and my life is so out of control." Okay, but yet the Bible says, do not be anxious. Yeah. Why? Because you already have peace. It is a spiritual blessing. Notice this. That the peace that guards your heart and mind, look at the verse. Look at the second sentence, which says, I got to look in my Bible to see, verse 7. Verse 7 says, "And the peace," what? "Of God." Okay? This is not peace from God. This is the peace of God. So the peace that guards your heart and your mind is the peace of God, not peace from God. And there is a very important distinction there. Meaning God does not just dole out handfuls of peace when you get anxious. The peace that guards you is not handed to you from God. The peace is of God. This tells us that he does not just take a blanket of peace and cover you in it. Rather, he himself blankets us. He covers us. He guards us. And in his coverage, there is peace. It is the peace of God. Another way of saying it is the peace that comes from having God. And we have God. How? This is the second part. How do we possess this peace of God? End of verse 7. In Christ Jesus. Sound familiar? It's the theme of Ephesians. That's what we've been talking about. And it's the center of our spiritual blessings, that we only inherit God's peace as a spiritual blessing because we are in Christ. We get God to blanket us himself in Christ. Christ covers us. Christ gives us peace. Because we are in Christ, we get the peace that comes with him. And his peace is beyond imagination. It is the completeness of all possible peace. And we get it. So in your times of anxiety and you say, "God, give me peace," because your word says, "God, give me peace," we are thinking that this is like the checkout line at the grocery store, like, I'll take a piece, $1.99, please, and I'll take this piece home with me. Like, you're buying a blanket, and you're like, you know, I'll put it to you this way. My children will wake, especially my three-year-old, he'll come in the middle of the night crying because he had a sad dream. And he'll be like, "Daddy, I had a bad dream." He's crying. And now imagine this. I take a blanket off the bed, and I go, "Take this, put it on yourself, and go back to bed." Is he going to stop crying? Like, "Oh, okay, sure." No. He's going to keep crying. What does he want? He wants dad. He wants dad. He wants dad to pick him up, to wrap him in a blanket, to kiss him, to hold him, to walk him back to bed, to say, "It's okay, daddy and mommy are here for you. We love you." And to give him what? Security and peace. That peace doesn't come by me telling him he has peace or me giving him a blanket. That peace comes from me. His security comes from me. And it's the same way we relate to God. The peace that we have from God, the love we have, the grace, we can apply this to all the spiritual blessings. Peace is just the example we're using now. Comes from having him. He wraps himself around us. And so this blessing comes to us in Christ. And the person of who Jesus is covers us in anxiety. That should change the way you experience anxiety for the rest of your life. You are not asking God to give you something he owns and put it into your heart and make you start to feel better. Rather, when you ask for peace, you are asking, God, be my coverage. Be my blanket. Be the wing in which I take cover in. Be my refuge and my fortress. Be present with me. Let the person of Jesus Christ be made known in my life as I feel and experience peace that only you could give me. That should change the way you face anxiety for the rest of your life. Third, how do we experience it? Spiritual blessings, such as peace, are completely ours because we are in Christ. Yet we do not always experience these blessings as if they are ours, right? We don't always just feel peace. There is a point when, from our, recognize this is from our perspective, it seems that times that we do not have these spiritual blessings. We look in the fridge and we say, man, there's nothing to eat. So how do we experience the reception of the spiritual blessings? How do I get peace when I'm in anxiety? How does the anxiety go away? That's really what we want, right? Or if I'm hurt by someone I love, how do I make the hurt go away and the love to be present? Or I have a financial hardship. How do I make the hardship go away and the money to be present? How do I get the spiritual blessings that I need? And remember that sometimes God doesn't always answer spiritual requests the way we want him to. But verse 6 tells us that the way in which we experience the reception of these spiritual blessings is by prayer. Do not be anxious, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And when we do that, the peace of God, God himself, in Christ, covers us. So through prayer, by asking and realizing and becoming aware of it and calling on God to give them to us is how we experience them. And he doesn't just give us peace, he gives us himself in Christ. And in Christ, we experience this peace. Sometimes I think my wife's voice is the voice of God. Many husbands may experience that as well. Sometimes my wife says things and I'm like, I should probably listen to that. You know, when I go in the fridge and I open it up and I say, there's nothing to eat. I hear God's voice upstairs go, look in the freezer, right? It sounds a lot like my wife's voice. Sometimes that's how God communicates to us through our wives, through our spouses. But ultimately, that is where we starve, by looking at the food that's right in front of us and not even saying, I need this. I need this, God. And God's like, you have it. It's yours. Because you have me. I'm yours. All the stuff you need is mine. And you have me. And how do you have me? Because you have Christ. So you have me through Christ completely. Father. Or the Father through Christ. And we have access. We look at if you can go back to Ephesians, we're done in Philippians. If you were to look at chapter 3, verse 12... In Jesus Christ, we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. We have total and complete confidence to access God, stand before his throne, and we do that because we are in Christ. And so in Christ, we stand before the Father and we say, I have a need. My children come to me and they say, I have a need. And I want to create an atmosphere at home where my kids feel they can ask me for anything they need. So, it is by prayer, it is by asking that I fulfill, my kids don't pray to me, but it's them asking me that gets their needs filled. And in the same way we relate to the Father, that through Christ, in Christ, we go to the Father and we make requests, and they are ours. The way we experience them can vary, but all spiritual blessings are ours. We just need to ask. And the way in which He fulfills that may not look the way in which we want it to look, but they're ours. Back to Ephesians 3. At the end of verse 3, Paul says, these spiritual blessings are in, look at the last three words of verse 3, last four words, in, these every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. John MacArthur says, quote, "The heavenly places encompasses the entire supernatural realm of God, His complete domain, the full extent of His divine operation," end quote. In this realm, the heavenly places, is our true citizenship. And being citizens of the heavenly places, we possess all that the owner of the heavenly places gives to us, which are our spiritual blessings. So our spiritual blessings are not from the heavenly places, they are in the heavenly places, meaning the heavenly places is not Amazon.com. All your spiritual blessings are not stored up in a place that we order from and then they deliver it to us. That's not how our spiritual blessings work. Rather, this is number five in your bulletin. We are positioned in Christ, and therefore we become children of God. And being children of God, we are true citizens in the heavenly places. And because we are truly citizens in the heavenly places, we are therefore possessors of all that the heavenly places has to offer, which Paul talks about in verse 14, that we receive an inheritance that comes to us in Christ. So it's really a matter of discovering that we are placed in a position, and this position is in Christ. And being in Christ, we become children of God and citizens in the heavenly places in which our spiritual blessings are stored and are at our disposal. Realizing that you have all the spiritual blessings you need here on earth is really a matter of realizing that you are positioned in Christ. And therefore you possess, as Peter says, all things that pertain to life and godliness. So, when you're spiritually hungry, don't forget to look in the freezer. God's storehouse, the heavenly places, is fully stocked with spiritual blessings that you need, and they are free for you to access. Because when we access the freezer for spiritual blessings, we are really accessing God through Christ, which is us living out our sonship, which brings much joy to us and great glory to God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for your word, and I pray that we would live in the experience of the spiritual blessings that you provide for us, that we will not need anything. And in the moments when we experience need, you have an answer. And the answer is in you. So that when we experience joy while we are frustrated and we experience joy in our frustration, we don't go, well, thankful, we're thankful for joy. We get to say, we're thankful for you. So make yourself known through the experience of our spiritual blessings. And let the gospel be made known in us as we convey who Christ is and that we are in Him. So, Father, as we leave today, help us to change the way we perceive ourselves. That we are not just people of God, we are people in Christ. We've been placed in Christ. We have an identity that is who we are in Christ. We are followers of Jesus, sons of you, Father. That is who we are in Christ. And pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.